This morning we'd like to look at 1 Samuel 1. How would you like to prepare a special vacation for your wife? All of the meals, gourmet, and just to go to a lot of effort and work to make sure that you can just have a wonderful time together. But the whole time, she does nothing but cry, doesn't even eat. That's the problem Elkanah had here in chapter 1. He had taken his wife Hannah with him, that they might enjoy the worship of God at Shiloh, where they were to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord and then to just feast in the goodness of God. But Hannah wouldn't eat. She cried the whole while. Until finally it got on Elkanah a little bit and he said, "What's the matter with you? Aren't I not worth 10 sons unto you? You got me, isn't that enough? You ought to be happy." And he couldn't understand why she was just crying and so bitter in her soul. And so we find that as they came to the place of worship, that Hannah went into the temple to pray. And there, her heart was so grieved over her problem that as she prayed unto God, there was such great agony, she couldn't even articulate, couldn't even make sounds. Just as she was lying there before God and desperate, her mouth was moving, but there wasn't any sound coming out. Eli, the high priest, came by, saw her just in that agonized condition, mouth moving, no noise, presumed she was drunk. And he said, "Woman, put away your wine, it's going to destroy you." And so she answered the priest in verse 13, or rather in verse 15, and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." I am a woman, she said, of sorrowful spirit. Now, the reason why her spirit was sorrowful is because her husband was a polygamist. And what advantages might accrue from polygamy, I'm certain that the disadvantages far outweigh them. One of the disadvantages of polygamy was manifested in the situation with Hannah, because the other wife had become more or less an adversary to her. Now, first of all, I would like to say that I think that any man is a fool who thinks he can totally satisfy the needs of two women. It's hard enough. To fully meet all of the emotional and needs of one woman. And in this particular situation, the other wife of Elkanah was able to bear many children. Hannah could not bear any children. So the other wife had used this as a taunt and was continuing continually taunting Hannah until she was almost beside herself, taunting her over the fact that she could not bear a child. Now, in that particular culture, not being able to bear a child was considered one of the greatest curses of God. Not being able to bear a child for your husband was accepted grounds for divorce. The most important thing was to be able to give to your husband a son. And unfortunately, Hannah did not have this joy. However, the other woman, who Elkanah didn't care as much for, she had plenty of children. She was jealous of Hannah because of Elkanah's obvious preference of Hannah, but she used this particular thing to daily just taunt, irritate, to use against her until Hannah was absolutely miserable, in great bitterness of soul. As she said to the priest, "I am a woman of sorrowful spirit." Some of you who have come to the sanctuary of God this morning have perhaps come in with a very sorrowful spirit. Family problems have a way of really depressing a person. Interpersonal relationships can oftentimes bring on sorrow and grief. There are many things in the world that we face today that are not pleasant. Job relationships, school relationships. And sometimes a person is actually driven to the sanctuary of God because you've got to turn someplace. And it's very possible that some of you here this morning have more or less been driven to the sanctuary of God, and you've come in today with a sorrowful spirit. Where do you turn when you have a sorrowful spirit? I guess we always turn someplace because there is an old adage that declares misery loves company. It's awfully hard to bear your misery and sorrow alone. It seems only to compound when there's no one to share it with, no one to open your heart to. So often you find yourself feeling really down, depressed, sorrowful spirit. So you decide to head over to a friend's house. And when you arrive, they're having a big party. Everybody's laughing, everybody's happy. And you sit there all bummed out, looking at them, laughing and carrying on and seeming to have such a good time. How can they be so happy when you're so miserable? Finally, someone notices that you're not participating, you're not entering in. They see the dour expression and they say, "What's the matter? What's wrong?" But as you start to unload, you realize they're really not interested in what you've got to say. They're more interested in having their fun, and you really can't blame them. And so you decide, "I'm not going to get any help here." You leave the party, you head for another friend's house. But before you have a chance to unload on him, he starts unloading on you. And man, you thought you had troubles. But his are even worse. And after he unloads on you, you think, wow, I wouldn't dare lay my trip on him. He's already about to go under with all of his problems. And so you just sort of swallow and say, well, man, that's too bad. I sure, you know, feel sorry for you. And you take off. And where can you take a sorrowful spirit? Really, a sorrowful spirit isn't very welcome anywhere. No one likes to see a sorrowful spirit coming. And so we usually end up at home alone and we wonder, doesn't anyone care? Doesn't anyone understand? I feel like I'm going under and there's no one to help. In verse 10, it tells concerning Hannah, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. You see, our problem is that we often are taking our sorrows to people who really can't help us. Hannah took her sorrowful spirit to the Lord. Now the Bible declares that we should cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. If you have been driven to the sanctuary of God this morning because you have a sorrowful spirit, I want to tell you something. You've come to the right place. Because there is one who is very concerned with your interpersonal relationships. There is one who understands the feelings in your heart today. And he is wanting to share that sorrow and that burden with you in order that he might lift it from you. Pouring out to a friend the things of your soul can sometimes be disastrous. It may be that they understood you till you opened your mouth, and then you lost sympathetic relationship with him. I think of the case of Job. He had a lot of problems. And the Bible says that his friends came to comfort him. But when Job opened up and began to really share his soul with his friends, not understanding him, he actually just got in a big fight with them. They ended up calling each other names. Job said, "You big windbags, whoever asked you to come anyhow? Miserable comforters are ye. You haven't helped me one bit." Because after he opened up and poured out his soul to them, they turned against him. So pouring out your soul to a friend isn't always a safe thing. In fact, there is nothing more disheartening than after you've poured out your soul to a friend, to later on hear the whispers of the crowd, and you realize that that friend that you poured your soul out to betrayed the confidence and told others the things that you shared of your own heart with him. And now it's becoming public knowledge, those secret personal things of your own soul. So finding someone to pour your soul out to is not always an easy situation, but it is wonderful to know there is one that we can pour our soul out too. Not only does he understand, not only will he hold complete confidence, but he is also able to help us in our problems. Eli the priest said, "Woman, put away your wine. It's not good for you." She said, "I'm not a woman who drinks. I have a sorrowful spirit, and I've poured out my soul unto the Lord." Hannah did the right thing with that problem that she was facing. She brought it to the Lord, and she poured it out to him. Eli the priest then answered her, "Go in peace, and may the Lord grant your petition." She washed her face. She quit crying. She started eating again. There was a change. Her husband really didn't know, I guess, what happened. But suddenly, here she was, happy once more. Eating again. No more tears. More than that, when they arrived back home, she became pregnant. Having poured out her soul to the Lord answered the need, the deep need of her heart. That's why it's so valuable to pour out your soul to the Lord, for he is able to help you in that deep need that you feel within. And God gave her a son. And after she had weaned him, she came back to the temple, back to Eli the priest, holding now the little boy by the hand. She said, I'm the woman that was here, that you thought was drunk. Remember, I'm the woman who was in such bitterness of soul, but look what God has done. For this son I prayed, she said, and God heard and answered my prayer. Oh, it's always exciting when we come in the heaviness of heart, in the dilemma of our situations, not knowing exactly what to do, where to turn, to just pour out our souls before God and to receive that wonderful comfort of his Spirit, the assurance of his love, and the promise of his help. What a change it can make in our lives, in our attitudes. Once I've poured out my soul to God, I know that God is going to be faithful. He's going to help me. And that day when I can stand and say, "Lord, it was for this son I prayed. It was for this experience that I was crying unto you. And now, Lord, you've done it. Thank you, Lord, thank you." It's wonderful to know this morning that no matter what your situation may be, no matter how tangled and twisted the interpersonal relationships might seem, how bitter have been the words, the incriminations, You just bring it all and pour your soul out to the Lord. He, in turn, can pour oil on the troubled waters and bring a soothing kind of a relief and help. And you can go away today smiling, eating, no more tears, because I have given it into the hands of God, who loves me, who is concerned about me, and who will answer my petitions. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, that your eyes are upon the righteous and your ears are open to their cries. And Lord, we thank you that as you look upon us this morning, you see not an assembled multitude of people, but you see us as individuals. And that our relationship with you is a very personal relationship. That it is like there is no one else here but just you and me. And that I can pour out my soul before you. The distresses of my heart. And that you understand. And you reach forth with a sympathetic hand and you lift me and you give me hope. Lord, may those who have come this day with a sorrowful spirit find the help of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Often, very often, people come with sorrowful spirits. That's understandable. Never, never should you leave with a sorrowful spirit. That isn't necessary. For coming to the sanctuary of God, you have the opportunity of pouring out your spirit, your soul before the Lord. And you can go this morning assured that God is going to work his works and will bring to pass his purposes. And many times, God has a purpose for that sorrowful spirit. In the case of Hannah, God needed a man. But the conditions in Israel were so down the tube, there wasn't any man that God could use. And the nation was on the brink of disaster. God needed a man, there was none. And God had to get hold of a woman before he could get hold of a man. And thus he closed up Hannah's womb. She could not bear any children until she came to this point of absolute desperation, bitterness of soul. And as she prayed to the Lord, she said, Lord, if you will just give me a son, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. God said, all right, that's what I'm wanting. I need a man. So God allowed the sorrowful condition in order that he might work out his purposes so that when she poured out her soul to God, it then gave God the opportunity to do what he was wanting to do. And as you pour out your soul to God, you are now opening the door for God to work and do those things that He is wanting to do and fulfill His purposes. And usually they are so far beyond and so much greater than what we ever dreamed. And that day of excitement is coming when you say, Lord, it was for this I've been praying. For this son, I cried. And Lord, you answered, God, you're good. You've met my needs. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. And if you've come with a sorrowful soul, don't go with a sorrowful spirit. Go back to the prayer room. Just pour out your soul to God today. He's wanting to help you. He is willing to help you. He is understanding of your situation. He knows the hurts that you are feeling, and He's anxious to minister unto you of His love and of His grace if you'll just give Him the chance. May the Lord's hand be upon your life through this week. May you experience His presence, His love, His power working in your life in a very special way. In Jesus' name.